What's up, everybody? This is Jesse from Plant the Spear. Thank you so much for tuning in. Excited to be back in the studio with you guys to talk about a 4-0 top five Florida State team as we enter the bye week, coming off a massive win against Clemson in Death Valley. So in this show, we got a ton to talk about. I want to talk about some national rankings and just the outlook as far as that goes. We're going to look this. I know it's not midseason, but we're going to kind of do how we feel during the bye week, what we saw in the first 4 weeks, what we feel good, what we don't feel good about, and then look at some things going forward towards the end of the season as the rest of the schedule gets ready to unfold. So we got a lot to talk about, and we're going to jump right into it. But first, I want to let you guys know about something you don't want to miss out on, and that is a giveaway that we are running here at Plant the Spear. And I know this episode's a little bit later in the week. I apologize for that. I did have an unexpected trip to the vet with my dog, but everything's good there. It just caused everything to get pushed back a little bit. There's still plenty of time to enter. So what we're giving you a chance to win is two tickets to Florida State versus Syracuse, a $100 gift card to our title sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU, as well as an unreleased Marvin Jones Laser Center t-shirt, courtesy of Micanopy 1851. So the contest runs until Sunday night. Make sure you guys head over to our social channels, either Twitter or X, whichever you call it, Facebook or Instagram, for your chance to enter. It's super easy. There's information on how you can take care of all that over there. So go check that out. I want to do something to give back to the community who supports us, and I greatly appreciate you guys. I love doing these giveaways. This is our first one, but I love it. I want to be able to give back more often. I just really hate that I can only choose one winner. So we're going to do these more often. But speaking of, also make sure you do check out our sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. They got all the great FSU gear you need, which you're probably going to buy anyway. So you might as well get it at a good price using code SPEAR online or in store to get a 10% discount off your purchase. And they got everything you need, guys. And it does really help support the show as well. So thank you so much for checking out our sponsor, Alumni Hall. Now, getting into this. So Florida State makes it to the bye week 4-0. And partially, it kind of feels like they stumbled their way to the bye week at 4-0 because it hasn't really been the prettiest. We've really only seen Florida State reach their potential in one half out of four games. And we know that's the second half against LSU. But we have seen stretches where Florida State has been really impressive. I mean, when you look at the LSU game, they went on a 31-7 run. When you look at Boston College, as ugly as that game was, they went on a 28-0 run and were up 31-10 at one point. When you look at Clemson, they were on a 24-7 run in that game. So we've seen flashes of what this team can be. I think really my biggest overall concern is, when are we going to see that second half FSU from the LSU game again? When are we going to start seeing more glimpses of that team than we are the team that made the mistakes that allowed a close game against Boston College, etc.? Now, when we talk about each game, let's start with LSU. They are still top 15 in the country. I believe they're 13. They dropped one spot after having a little bit of a close win against Arkansas at home. They still look like the best team in the SEC West. I think they have a really legit chance at winning the SEC as a whole. And really just a lot of it, too, when you look at quarterback play, and we'll talk about the top five in a minute, which includes Georgia. But I think they're one of the best teams in the SEC who's not having their best year. The SEC is a conference. But still, that was a massive win, and you beat them handily in that game. You know, you blew them out by 21 points with seven of it coming in garbage time on a neutral field, which was, you know, de facto home game for Florida State. But to me, that's one of the biggest wins of the season for any team. And of course, Texas has the big win over Alabama, but it's not been Alabama's greatest year. And we'll see what that game looks like when LSU and Alabama play, because it is in Bryant-Denny this year. And so if they go in and win that game, then you feel really good about that LSU win, more than you already did, because you already feel great about it. So then you get game two against Southern Miss, who really hasn't looked great that year or this year so far. But, you know, it's not like they're a terrible FCS team. It's still a group of five team. And they played Florida State. They played Tulane, a couple of good teams there. But they've lost a few more, and it's not been a great year for them. But you beat them. I mean, you beat them like you were supposed to. And then you look at the Boston College game. It's really the sore thumb on the schedule. And really, to me, it's what you're being punished for when you talk about rankings. Because if you had won this game against Clemson the same exact way, say overtime against Clemson, but you had blown Boston College out, I feel like the win against Clemson would have been looked at differently than the fact that you've had two close games in a row. Now, when you talk about the Boston College game, it is, of worth mentioning, you cannot not bring up the fact that it pretty much has been confirmed since that half the team had the flu in that game. When you look at just the energy and how flat they were in that game, I think that that was pretty obvious. You lost Akeem Dinn in that game, and you had to kind of bring in Kevin Knowles, who has never played the safety position for Florida State, you know, starting against a Power 5 offense. So there were some reasons in that game. The red bandana game, Boston College always shows up and shows out for that game. Now, it doesn't help they got blown out by Louisville this week, but maybe every team's allowed a fluke game, and almost every team this season has had a fluke game. So hopefully that's it. It's just, I think when you see Florida State making some of those same mistakes versus bouncing back and looking like the team we saw in the second half of LSU, then you start to get a little concerned. But when you look at Clemson being close and you look at Boston College being close, that's two different. To me, you have to separate those. That's two different examples, because going into Clemson in Death Valley, that's an entirely different animal. And you can throw out any of the stats that you want. Clemson is 82-1 at home under Dabo when leading by 10 points at any point in the game. Florida State snapped that. You know, now they're 81-2. You also look at, they haven't lost an ACC game since 2016. Now you've added another ACC loss to their resume. And really, like, that is such a massive win that, to me, on a national level, it gets discredited by people who I think over or under appreciate how hard it is to win in Death Valley in that environment that we saw on Saturday, because it was a sellout crowd. There was a lot of people there and it was loud. And so that's a tough one to overcome. And really, you know, when we talk about the preseason, I predicted Florida State to finish 11-1, and I thought the game that they would lose would be Clemson. Now, I changed that after we saw the first few games of the season, and I thought Florida State was better. But I thought a lot of the reason that they might lose that game is just because of how hard it is to play at Death Valley. And that really is something that we saw on Saturday, just how hard it is to go up there and get a win. And I think a lot of people underappreciate that. Now, when you talk about Clemson, this is still probably the best defense on your schedule. When you talk about that front seven, all the things that they have, the pieces that they have on their defensive line, those two linebackers, even their secondary, you know, we said as in the pregame, how good was their secondary? We don't know, because I didn't feel like they had truly been tested yet. And in this game, this was going to be their biggest test. And again, that is probably the best defense you'll face on your entire schedule. And you were still able to, I know it took overtime, but you still kept your 30-point streak going against them. And the thing that I talk about with Clemson, their offense is, it's just been mistake prone. It's not that it's a bad offense when you still have guys like Shipley and Maffa. And I know Klubnik hasn't been off to the greatest start this year. He's still a former five-star quarterback, and their receivers have not been the most productive, but they're still talented guys. They're just not game changers like they used to have. So Clemson is by far not a bad team. And something I talked about after that game was, when you look at their resume alone, they don't deserve to be in the top 25. You got blown out in game one by Duke. But when you look at that game, it was on the road at night in a huge atmosphere for Duke. Clemson repeatedly shot themselves in the foot, multiple mistakes in the red zone that cost them that game. And Duke gets full credit for the win, because they showed up. And, you know, in the last 20 years, you're probably, that game would have never happened. Duke is by far a much better team. And we're going to talk about that when we talk about the rest of the schedule coming up later on in the show. But a lot of what led to Clemson losing that game was on Clemson themselves. In my personal opinion, if you take Duke and put them in that same atmosphere that Florida State played in at Death Valley on Saturday, sold out crowd, Clemson's had a few weeks to kind of get things right and work out some of the kinks with being in a new offense. And, you know, that was also something that I talked about with Clemson, was I thought it was really beneficial to catch a young quarterback and a new offensive coordinator early in the season. And Duke got him game one. You know, that was LSU's biggest excuse for losing last year. So to me, I don't think if you put Duke in that situation on Saturday, I don't think they beat Clemson. I just don't. I don't think if you put half of the teams in the top 25 in that same game, in that same situation, in a sold-out Death Valley, in the game that Clemson played Saturday, because they played a pretty good game, I don't think 15, you know, maybe 10 or 15 teams beat them. So resume alone, Clemson's not a top 25 team, but talent wise at home in Death Valley, you know, if you're talking about a neutral field, maybe that's something different. But in Death Valley, I think that team is a lot better than people give credit for. So that was a massive win for Florida State, not just this season, but as a program as a whole for Mike Norvell to finally just overcome the Clemson hump and to put yourselves back on top of the ACC mountain, even if it is for right now, because you got a lot of games left to play. But it was massive. And I really do honestly think I've seen this comments from multiple ACC members so far that I think everybody just let out a collective sigh of relief when Florida State won that game, because everybody kind of wanted to see Dabo hushed up, you know, and Florida State finally was able to do that inside Death Valley in their place. And realistically, when you look at it from Clemson's perspective, that would have been a massive win for them. They really wanted to win that game. A top five win at home against FSU really would have turned their season around. But now you look, they've lost two of the Power Five games that they played this year. They've lost the last four Power Five teams that they've played. When you go back to the Orange Bowl in South Carolina last year, they've now lost two of their last four games in Death Valley. And while they still have a lot of talent and a lot of young talent, so I don't think they're going anywhere, things aren't the same at Clemson. And it doesn't mean they're not a good team, but I think this was really a gut punch for Clemson as well. And it was nice that you were the one who was able to deliver that. Now, when you talk about being on top of the ACC mountain, we do have to make a quick side note. The news has come out that apparently Clemson might be leaving the ACC with announcing their intentions as soon as October. I don't know, man. We'll have to see. Did they figure out the code to crack the grant of rights or something? Is Florida State going to follow? You know, was the addition, the expansion with the other three teams because they knew something was coming? We'll see. We'll keep you guys posted on that as the news breaks, but that's something definitely to watch. So, but anyway, getting back to it, this was just a massive win at FSU, you know, for FSU, should I say, at Clemson because of where it was at and who it was against. And just being able to beat a team that you haven't beat up there in almost 10 years, a team that you hadn't beat in the last seven tries, a team that is still really talented, a team that had you on the ropes and you were still able to come out and win that game. So it really was a massive win for this program. And I don't think it can be understated, even though I think it is being overlooked nationally when you talk about the rankings, because again, Florida State won and then dropped to fifth in the AP poll. And while they do consider that when you talk about playoff rankings, the AP poll doesn't really matter, especially this early in the season. A lot of things are going to shake out. You know, two of the teams that are above you still have to play. I think when you look at Florida State's case, if they go through and they have a win against LSU the way that they did, and if LSU goes on to be the team that we think they are, you know, Clemson's going to have some opportunities to prove who they are. They still get Notre Dame at home, which would be a huge win for them, especially in Death Valley. Just, again, could be a case to show why it's so hard to win there. They also got North Carolina. So if you go through and you beat Duke and you beat Miami and you beat Florida in the Swamp and you win the ACC championship, which looks like it's probably not going to be against Clemson, you essentially eliminated them from the ACC championship and the playoffs unless some crazy things happen. I really do think that you'll be where you need to be. And now maybe that ACC championship road got a little bit easier because you don't know who you're going to have to play now. Might be North Carolina, who hasn't looked great. I mean, I know they're undefeated, but they struggled against App State and had a tight game against Pitt, who's not very good this year. But I do think when you look at as a whole, as a resume, if Florida State goes through and is 13-0 as an ACC championship, they're going to make the playoffs. I'm not really worried about that. The Pac-12 still has to kind of eat themselves a little bit. Now, they have a lot of good teams, but we'll see how that shakes out. But when you look at the top five, and we'll just touch on the rankings real quick, because when you talk about Florida State making it into the bye week at 4-0, we can all agree it hasn't been the greatest feeling 4-0 that we've seen. And I think the farther away you get from the LSU game, which was their one kind of dominant game, which was really only one dominant second half, I think you start to feel a little bit more concerned about the tight games and things like that. But you, again, I still think Clemson is just totally different than what you saw against Boston College. But when you look at overall, I don't think anybody's really, there's really no juggernaut out there this year like you've seen in the past where you had Georgia out there waiting on you who looked like an absolute machine, the Ohio State we saw last year who was really, really talented. When you look at it as a whole, I mean, you look at number one, Georgia, who has played one Power Five team so far this season. We know their schedule is kind of a joke. And they were losing at halftime to South Carolina, which is a team that got smoked by UNC the first game of the season. So, you know, we'll see how they do going down their schedule once they get into some tougher teams. You know, they still have Kentucky. They still have Tennessee, who may not be as good as we thought. But they haven't looked like an absolute machine like they have. So they've not been perfect. You look at Michigan. They haven't beat anybody. I think their best win is Rutgers. They have not scored over 35 points this entire season, even though they played some not great teams. You look at Ohio State. Their biggest win before Notre Dame was Indiana. Now, I know they went into Notre Dame and won. If we're being perfectly honest, the jury's still out a little bit on Notre Dame. They beat a lot of bad teams, and they got shot up the rankings for it. So we'll see how good they are. They only scored 10 points against Ohio State. You only scored one touchdown at home against them. So we'll see. And then you talk about Ohio State. You know, this is a team that only scored 17 points against Notre Dame, and seven of that came on literally the last play of the game. So a lot of it remains to be seen, but no one has really had a just runaway type of season so far. Even when you look at Texas, they had the huge win against Alabama in Bryant-Denny, and it's a massive win. But, you know, we also know that this has not been Alabama's best year, especially with the quarterback struggles that they have. So you also look at the Wyoming game, where they were tied up late in the fourth quarter before they ended up running away with that game a little bit, you know, in the last few minutes. But I think it'll be also interesting when you talk about, to me, Florida State and Texas, when you look at their resume alone, when you just kind of close your eyes and only read off the resume, you don't put in things last year and the talent level on the roster, you look at what they've done. Florida State's resume deserve to be number one, especially when you consider how hard it is to win at Clemson. And I think Texas is your best argument for number two, but I'll be interested to see how that LSU-Alabama game goes. It's in Bryant-Denny this year, I believe, because they won last year in Tiger Stadium. So if you go in there and LSU beats Alabama this year again, then you look at Florida State really having the best resume and deserving to be number one, but they continue to fall. So that's why I think you need to win some games with some style points. But at the same time, it doesn't really matter. If you win every game by 1 point, you'll be where you need to be at the end of the season. But the main point of that conversation is that not every team has been perfect this year by far. And so the fact that you have kind of stumbled your way through a few games and still made it before, it really does speak to how much better this Florida State team's got, the talent level that they have. And it also makes us excited to know that they beat the two best teams on their schedule, not even playing that well, because preseason, a lot of us thought, man, if you could just get to the bye week 4-0, you feel like you can run the table. If you can get there at 3-1, you feel really good about still accomplishing all your goals for the rest of the season. You just couldn't go 2-2, and they went 4-0, not even playing great. So it's huge. And, you know, on that note, I do want to say that it's not being negative, because you guys know I don't like to be negative on the show. You know, I like to be positive as much as possible. It's not negative to talk real about some things. Florida State can be number 4-0 and number 5 in the country. Their run game's not that great. Their pass defense could be a lot better. That's fair to talk about. But I think when you are better, you get more heightened on what's good and what's bad. But I just want to say that stop and smell the roses, guys, because there's a lot of people that are complaining about a lot of things at this point in the season. And man, 2 years ago, we were 0-4 and had just lost to Jacksonville State. You know, last year, you lost three games in a row, which were the tougher teams on your schedule besides LSU. And so to me, to be able to beat LSU, to be able to win against Clemson in Death Valley, just stop and enjoy it for a minute, because this team is good. And Saturdays, although they've been a little bit more stressful than we planned on, they've been fun again. And so that is exciting. So I just want to say for 1 second, like, just enjoy this ride, because it has been fun so far. And you got a lot of football left to go. And this team can still get a lot better, because now that we hit the bye week, this is a wonderfully timed bye week, because you really need it. I mean, you just had a couple of hard fought games, and now you have a team on the other side of the bye week that you should be able to beat handily, but you really just need to get healthy. And I think a lot of that has to do with some of the struggles that you saw in the last couple of games. When you talk about the offense, and what we'll do is we'll go through offense, defense, and special teams of what how we feel on each one. But when you talk about this bye week, really a lot of the struggles, I think, on the secondary for defense, and we'll talk about this, is just not having Akeem Dent back there. I think on the offense, Jordan Travis being injured, you having some offensive line issues have been hard for them to overcome. But this bye week came at a perfect time because you really need this team to get healthy more than you need anything else. They have to get healthy and they have to look internally and start working on some of the small miscues that I do really feel are a lot of correctable things when you talk about missed tackles and misalignments and miscues on the defense. But going into the offense, talking about what we've seen so far, I know you needed overtime to do it last week, but you still have that 30-point streak running of 10 games with over 30 points. And considering the defense that Clemson has, like I said, this is probably the best defense that you're going to face all season long. When you talk about that front seven, those are all NFL caliber players. That the secondary, I know they lost, I think it was Mickens late, but it was still like that's still a really good secondary. So that was a real good test for your offense. And it wasn't perfect, but you still managed to do enough to win the game there. The one thing that stands out is the lack of a run game. We know they ran for over 200 yards, 8 games last year, and they've only had one this year, and it was against Southern Miss. You only had 22 yards rushing in that game. That's not going to cut it going forward. But at the same time, I think a lot of this stems to some offensive line issues as well as Jordan being injured, because we know that when he's hurt, and to be fair, like if Jordan not running the ball means that he protects himself enough to stay in the game, I'm fine with that, because you need his arm, you need his leadership ability to run this offense more than you need his legs. And I think he knows how important he is to this team to be on the field and not have to turn to someone like Tate Rodemaker or something like that. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. If he doesn't run the ball, he has less of a chance to take those hits, but you need him to run the ball because, let's face it, Jordan is your most effective, dynamic, just dangerous runner on this team. What he can do in space, the way he can make people miss, he's obviously your best quarterback, and he's probably your best running back too. You know, just when you talk about the amazing things that he can do. But when he's injured, he does not run the ball, and he's been reluctant to run it the last 2 years a lot anyway. We've really seen a lot of his carries go down. And teams, when they don't have to scheme for an elite runner in the backfield, you know, that's a lot of what made Lamar Jackson at Louisville really dangerous, was his running ability. And I think if, say, he stopped running the ball in the middle of the season, it completely changes that offense. And that's something that we've seen from Jordan Travis. So that's why it's so crucial for him to get healthy during this bye week. And I know a lot of people even talked about, do you need him for the Virginia Tech game? And personally, I would say no, I don't think you do. I think he'll play. But I could see a situation where maybe you sit him if he's not healthy, because there's a lot of times where you see that left arm and it's not his throwing arm. It's just hanging. I mean, it's just dangling. And you know it has to hurt. You know he's tough. He had a big shoulder brace on at the beginning of the Clemson game last week. I think he also, it was that game that he hit his hand on a helmet and cut his hand. So he was dealing with some issues there. He's just banged up and he has to get healthy, because that running ability is what really opens things up for their backs, and with them having to respect your quarterback and a dynamic running ability that he has. But I think you also look at it from the offensive line perspective. They have some things that they need to get sorted out, and you do have some new guys that are still kind of finding their way. I mean, I do think I said this last episode that I think you miss Dylan Gibbons' presence. He was a really physical, just tone-setting blocker. He was a vocal leader of this offensive line. I think you do miss his presence there a little bit. And I think that's something that we'll talk about on the defense, like with Jamie Robinson. I think you miss that on the defensive side of the ball as well. But you also have some things when you watch the film. I think they would really like to put Byers at guard. He's just not been the most effective at tackle. You know, he got beat on a 3-man rush in a crucial down against Clemson last week, we saw. But I think he's talented. He's still adjusting. Remember, he hasn't played Power 5 before, so he's still adjusting to this level. And he's really had a tall task when you talk about going against LSU's defensive line and Clemson's defensive line in two of the first four games. But I think you would like to have him at guard. You just can't right now because you don't have Robert Scott. And I think you need to get him back to where you can get your ideal five. You would like to have Byers at guard, Maurice Smith at center. You would like to have Robert Scott back and Bless Harris at your right tackle. But right now, you're kind of having to work around your injuries. You also have a lot of new faces that just have to get in sync. And when you play offensive line, it's everybody talks about. It's a weak link system, not a strong link system. You're only as good as your weakest link. And these guys haven't, and plus it's a lot of continuity. And these guys haven't played a lot together because, again, Byers is new. Casey Roddick is new. Keyonjay Jones is new. You know, a lot of the Bless Harris technically is new. You know, he didn't get to play last year because he was injured. So these guys have to get that continuity. They have to gel together. And that's something that they can work on through the bye week, especially if they can get healthy, maybe get Robert Scott back. I don't know that you see him against Virginia Tech because I don't know that you'd need him against Virginia Tech. But it'll give you a chance to work on some things to find the ideal group. I don't think it's all on the offensive line. I saw a stat last week, and I don't know how to calculate this. I don't know how accurate it is. But they had said that backs, Florida State was like top 10, I think, in yards before contact with backs at 4.1 yards. So I do think that while the offensive run blocking could be better, I think they've been really effective at pass blocking. I have to, you know, hats off to them for what they've been able to do as far as their pass blocking. I think it's been very effective. But I think it's also partially on the backs. You know, I think when you watch some of the film, this was where you missed Trayshawn Ward. And I think a lot of it there, and I don't know how the plays are always designed, so I can't sit here and say they hit the wrong hole. But you could see where they could bounce it a different way and break it off for a big run. And they just don't. Maybe they run right into people. They're not necessarily breaking tackles like they did, like we saw last year. I would really like to see them get Rodney Hill some more carries. I would like to see them get Keziah Holmes some more carries because, you know, I'm not saying Trey can't get the job done, but if he's not getting it done, maybe we give someone else a chance. So maybe that's something they can work on as well. But I do think it really starts with Jordan being healthy and having that additional run threat back there. So the run game is really the one thing that stands out that you want to see them work on. Now, as far as passing, I think they've been fine passing so far. And again, guys, like I talked about, when you mention talking about some things with Jordan and whatnot, this is not saying Jordan's not a good quarterback because he's an excellent quarterback, but he has not been the same as late 2022 Jordan that we saw towards the end of last season, where almost every throw just seemed like a dime dropping it in a bucket. This year, we've had a little bit of accuracy issues. I don't know how much of that has to do with the injury, but it certainly has to factor in there when you're playing in pain, you know, throughout most of the games, when you have a shoulder brace that you have to wear and things like that. And I know it's not his throwing arm, but I mean, you know, when you have to move around stuff, your whole body is part of it. But I do think that the biggest knock that people have is not spreading the ball around enough. And look, I'm all for getting more guys involved, especially if, say, for instance, one guy ends up having to miss some time. You don't want your only experienced guys to be three guys. And really, I think when you look at it, it's not as big of a problem as most people think. And I really wanted this episode to kind of just be sitting back talking around the tailgate, kind of a more relaxed type of environment, which is something I really enjoy. But I do have some stats for you guys, of course. You know I can't go one show without naming any stats. And so the reason I don't think it's really as big of a deal is because I went back and I looked, like, how detrimental is it for a team to really only focus on a couple of receivers? And so check this out. So 2023 FSU so far has 78 total receptions. The primary guys we know are Johnny Wilson, who has really had some big catches the last few weeks. That fingertip grab that he had against Clemson was outstanding. That was like chef's kiss, beautiful. And he's cleaned up some of the drops. And a lot of what you can see Keon Coleman do, you know, is one of the best receivers in the country. And then you also have Jaheim Bell. And then we're also going to factor in a fourth receiver when you look at what they do out of the backfield with Toa Philly. He does get a fair majority of the targets as well. But so far, they have 78 receptions. When you look at the top three guys, which we know are Johnny Wilson, Jaheim Bell, and Keon Coleman, they account for 55.2% of your receptions. If you go to the top four, which includes Toa Philly out of the backfield, that number jumps to 67.9% of the total receptions for the team. So far, they have accounted for 32, 29, 16, and 11 receptions. The rest of the team only has 34. So, of course, I would like to see them get more guys involved. And I do think there are some things that are open underneath. But let's look at a couple other teams. So when you think of Florida State's second, you know, we thought this would be one of the best offenses that we saw. What's the best offense you think of? 2013 FSU. We know they dominated pretty much everybody. So when you go back to 2013 FSU, in that season, they had a total of 288 receptions. Their top three guys accounted for 63.8% of receptions compared to 55.2% this year so far at FSU. The top four guys accounted for 75.8% of receptions compared to 67.9%, like we talked about, this year at FSU. Now, that's not always the case, because when you look at 2022 Georgia and 2021 Georgia, it wasn't as high as that. But we know those were a lot more defensively dominant teams. When you have successful offenses and national championships and things like that, who's the number two team or the number one team, even in some cases, that comes to your mind? 2019 LSU with Joe Burrow. That offense was lights out. Now, let's look at some of their numbers, because it's interesting as well. So 2019 LSU had a total of 426 receptions. Their top three guys accounted for 58.7% of the receptions. So that's 3.5% higher than what FSU is at right now. Their top four guys accounted for 69.7%, which is about 1.5% or so, just shy of 2% higher than what Florida State is right now. So the numbers tell you it's really not a problem when you have those talented guys that you're feeding the ball to. I think you also have to keep in mind that I looked it up. You know, Florida State doesn't disclose injury information. When I looked up on a website that lists technically guys that are out that they believe have injuries, Kentron Portier has not played this season, and he is listed as an injury. I don't know to what extent it is, but he has not been available, is what it sounds like. So if you take Portier, who is your next best receiver in line, and then you look at Destin Hill, while we're excited and I really would love to see him get involved in the pass game, this is his first year. You know, you still look at Winston Wright, who's made a couple catches, also had a fumble in there too. So I don't think it's bad to necessarily involve more people, but I also don't think it's bad to feed your top targets when you have guys like Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman who consistently make big catches, and Jaheim Bell hasn't been targeted near as much. But I think, you know, when you have those guys, it's okay to feed them because they are able to go up and win those battles. And then when you talk about Florida State, a lot of people say they don't use the middle of the field. And now these numbers come from PFF, and I can't guarantee you they're 100% accurate, but this is what they get paid to do. Florida State, 56.2% of their passes have been in the middle of the field. Now, it doesn't always feel that way, but that's just what the numbers tell us. You're looking at deep passes have accounted for 20.7%, which I think was around 17 last year. So not really a huge change there. The chunk of their passes come at the 0 to 19 yard, that short to mid-level. Mid-level 10 to 19 yards, you're looking at 33.1% of your throws. Short passes 0 to 9 yards, you're looking at 26.4, which is a little bit higher in the mid-range passing than you had last year. It was around 30 on both of those. So I think sometimes when you watch the film, you see guys like Kyle Morlock, like Winston, him throw the ball down the field to one of his top two targets. So I would like to see them take what's given, and I think it would help the offense stay more in rhythm. I think it would help them move the chains more and just be more in sync and get more guys involved in this offense. But they're still winning games. They're still putting up 30 plus points. And like we just talked about, the numbers have showed you that it doesn't necessarily come off as a bad thing. Now, I will say, as far as that goes, when you look at passing play snaps, these are snaps that were involved in a passing play, your top four targets have been present for 431 snaps. The rest of the team has only been on 311. So they have a majority of the targets, but also played a lot more too. So that is something to keep in mind. But I think the passing game will be fine. I just think hopefully they can work on taking some of those underneath routes as well. But again, like we said, I mean, if it works, it works. And I can't necessarily complain about that. So I think the offense will get rolling if you can just get Jordan healthy and you can get some time to work on some things and you can get that offensive line in sync. I think if you can get Maurice Smith healthy, because although he played last week, people were saying that they saw him get treatment after almost every play. So if you can get him back and healthy, you can get Robert Scott back and healthy, and you can get Jordan healthy with a bye week to work on things, I think you'll see Florida State start to get more in rhythm on their offense. And, you know, again, keep in mind, last year when they came out of the bye week, I mean, they just started blowing people out left and right. Them first four games, I think it was something like 173 to 39 or something combined points. It was ridiculous. So we know there is potential for them to get a lot better coming out of the bye week because we saw them do it last year. Now, switching over to defense, and this is where a lot of people have a lot of gripes, and I get it. They're frustrating to watch. The third down defense at Florida State is maddening, to say the least. And, you know, I'll give a shout out to Bud Elliott from the Nolcast, who brought the stat up this past week, where Florida State has been one of the best teams in the country at getting teams into third and longs, obvious passing down situations. They have been one of the worst teams outside of the top 110, I believe it was, at getting teams off the field in those situations. And they have to get better about that. They just have to. Really, to me, what plagues this team more than anything is missed tackles when you talk about defense and miscommunications in the secondary. I think the front seven is fine. Now, I know people point to the sack numbers being down and don't think that Versus having a good season, but you have to also remember that teams are accounting for this defensive line this year, because last year we saw them attack it a little bit through the run game because they knew you didn't have Fabian Lovett. They knew you weren't really as good as you wanted to be in the interior group. So teams were able to attack that a little bit at the run last year, but now they know you have that good defensive line. So we talked about in your run defense, it's gotten a lot better. You've just been gashed by a couple of mobile quarterbacks, which is something Florida State has always struggled with, which most teams struggle with. You know, Jaden Daniels runs a lot against a lot of teams, not just Florida State. It's not exclusive to them, but we talked about in last week's episode how much better Florida State has done against true running backs in the running game, not mobile quarterbacks. I think it was pre-Clemson. It was like a 369 total rushing yards they gave up, and only 160 of that, I think, was to backs. You look at what Will Shipley did against you the last two times you played. He had over 120 yards rushing. This one, I think it was like 67 yards. So you did a good job of limiting them on the ground as far as their backs go. It's just really, like I said, you see, and another thing I have to comment, and guys, I'm not one to blame refs. I mean, I know we get screwed a lot. I get it. I'm not necessarily one to blame the refs, but in the two biggest games of the season, LSU didn't have a single holding call in that game. I don't believe there was a single holding call in the Clemson game either. When you look at some of the pictures, and I love this trend, and I hope if you're listening to this and you're a photographer, you keep doing what you're doing. They have been putting out pictures after the game of pure and obvious holds. I'm talking about two guys with a handful of jersey. There's just not a lot you can do on the defensive line when you have two guys grabbing cloth the whole rep. And the sad thing is a lot of it is right in front of referees and it just doesn't get called. So I think that as much as I don't like to make excuses, I do think without a doubt, that's a factor. I mean, it is. When you get held every play almost, it's hard to be successful on the defensive line. So I do think you're seeing also team scheme around that defensive line, getting the ball out a lot faster. We know Clemson runs very short. You also have to think about the offenses you played. You had LSU, who does not push the ball down the field. They run a very short, quick pass, quick developing offense because Jaden Daniels is not a great thrower of the ball. You also have Clemson. We talked about this in the preview. They run a lot of fast plays, short passes that get the ball out of their hands. And then that's what we saw against Southern Miss in their game plan too. A lot of really short, fast developing plays. They're scheming around this defensive line. It doesn't mean they're still not having an impact on this game. So I think the defensive line is fine. I think your front seven is fine. The linebackers have really stepped up this year. You know, they lay the wood and they are fun to watch. And really, when you talk about Kalen DeLoach, he saved that game because I had all this just nasty gut feeling that like if Clemson goes down and scores there, this game is over. I didn't think they had the crowd. They had the momentum. They were driving. I thought if they scored, Florida State was not going to recover from that. That fumble recovery and touchdown and sack, that changed the outcome of the game, potentially saved your season. And this linebacker group has really stepped up to play this year. So I've really been excited for what we've seen there. So I think your front seven is fine. I just really think when it comes to the secondary, really, and this is what I alluded to earlier and something I tweeted out during the game is, man, just the loss of Jamie Robinson really is showing right now. And I know you can't keep everybody every year. I understand that. But if you had gotten him back, how big it would be for this defense. He led your defensive tackles the last 2 years. He was a veteran guy. He was like the quarterback of your defense there on the back end. And not having him hurts because you also have lost Akeem Dent, who did play well against LSU. But then he went out during the BC game, was not there for most of that one, was not here for the Clemson game. And when you look at who you're turning to, you know, Shaheem Brown is a guy that got I think it was around 400 snaps of experience last year, about 50% of the snaps, but is still a young player. Hasn't had his name called a whole lot this season. And then you've turned to Kevin Knowles in Dent's absence. Kevin Knowles is not necessarily a new guy, but he's new to the position. He has not played safety very much. And to me, it's not so much with Kevin Knowles that he's not in position to make plays, because a lot of times he is. The one thing that stands out to me with him is he ducks his head every time he gets into an open field tackle situation and the guys go right around him. The tackling has just been poor, if we're being honest. So I do think that if you can get Dent back, and I don't think you need him against Virginia Tech, but if you can get Akeem Dent back and have that experienced veteran safety on the back end of your defense, I think it will do wonders for the secondary. And again, you have a week now to work on some things, some of the communication. I think one of the issues you see, you know, we know Florida State runs a lot of man coverage. When you pass defenders off, I think that is one of the biggest areas where you're allowing guys to get open. I don't think Cypress is quite the shutdown corner that we maybe thought he was, but at the same time, he's in position a lot. He just kind of plays a little bit soft on his coverage. A lot of times when I watched in the Clemson film, he's in position. He's just 2 to 3 yards off. So then it turns into not getting a PBU and just making a tackle, but giving up that yardage. So there's some things they need to clean up, but I don't think it's things that cannot get cleaned up. And I just really think getting Akeem Dent is going to be huge for if you can get him back at some point this season. So they got some things to clean up. And, you know, I don't know if maybe it just also happens to be that the secondary is, other than a running game, is the biggest one on this team and also the only position that you changed your position coach. And that doesn't mean I'm saying Patrick Surtain is the weak link. I'm just saying you have a new coach and some guys learning some new things, and you played against some good offenses early in the season, looking at LSU. And then again, you know, BC wasn't a good offense, but, you know, again, the flu thing and all that. So the first half defense has been rough. The second half defense has been great. I mean, you held Clemson to 7 points in the second half. You held LSU to 7 points in the second half. And that's what gave you an opportunity to win the game. So your defense is giving you those opportunities to win the game in the second half. It's just, when are you going to show up and play all four quarters? And I know everyone wants to trash Fuller. There are some things in the game plan that I think could be better. Really, the one thing that stands out to me more than anything is being more aggressive more of the time. When you see this defense go through and start to be really aggressive and bring a lot of pressure, that's when you see them really start to have a lot of success. But sometimes it seems like it takes way too long for them to start ramping up that aggressiveness and a lot of the blitzes. So I know you can't blitz all the time, but I do think they need to just play a more aggressive style of defense, because that's what they're good at. That's what we've seen them play at their best. But hopefully these are some things that you can get cleaned up. But a lot of it really, guys, just it's blown assignments and it's missed tackles, and they're not being coached to miss tackles. They're not being missed. You know, I had someone comment on something the other day on a defensive thread that I put out, and they were like, you know, Adam Fuller needs to be fired because there's too many missed assignments or blown assignments. And I said, do you understand that when you say that they are not doing what they're being coached to do? Now, I understand it's on the staff to clean that up. That is a fair point, but they're not being coached to do a lot of this stuff. So they just have to clean it up. And, you know, the secondary is, I love a lot of the guys that they have back there, but if you look at the defense from top to bottom, it's probably your least talented position, or position group, should I say. So, you know, hopefully you get things cleaned up, because you have some teams going forward that can throw the ball, but not a ton of really powerhouse passing offenses. Now, I will say, last thing on the defense, a lot of people thought last year when you looked at the defensive numbers, top 25 and all that stuff, top 10 passing defense or top 15, it had a lot to do with teams that you played. Now, that is a very fair point, because I think it was something like 6 of the teams that you played last year were under their first year under a new staff. You didn't really see a lot of great quarterbacks. You know, Miami had a decent quarterback, but their coordinator situation was not the best, and they made a change there. So I think you are seeing a little bit of just playing better level of competition on the offensive side of the ball. You know, last year when they played Jaden Daniels, it was game 1 for LSU, and then I just do think that this defense overall is better than the defense last year. You're just seeing a little bit better competition so far. So we'll have to see how they come out of this bye week. But hopefully, you know, when you look at last year coming out of the bye week, they held Georgia Tech to, I think it was 16 points, and they scored one like kind of in garbage time late. They held Miami to 3, Syracuse to 3, Louisiana, I think it was 3 as well. So, or 49-10 or something like that. So hopefully there's are some things that they can get cleaned up. I know they rotate a lot on the defensive line now, which I know Norvell, he said that he did research on the national championship teams, and he's trying to follow where they keep guys fresh. And so, like, you are getting further into your depth, which could be, you know, early in the first half, which could be some of the reasons why you're seeing a fresh offense going against some of your further down the depth chart players are having some success. And then late in the second half, you have a Florida State team who's more fresh because they rotated more against an offense that's getting tired now. So it doesn't look great all the time, but it's, you've done enough. And so hopefully the BC game was just an anomaly where you let them get back into it where everybody was sick. And like I said, you could see the difference in the level of energy and intensity. So the defense overall, they got some things to clean up, but I think they'll be fine. So next up, let's just talk about special teams real quick. I think this year's been great so far on special teams. And shout out to Ryan Fitzgerald, who really was kind of the weakest link on this team last year and really cost Florida State a lot of things. You know, when you talk about just a lot of the missed field goals, it was a struggle. But this year so far, he's been great. And man, when he lined up and hit that 48-yarder against Clemson, I don't know about you guys, but I could not breathe during that. I was like, oh, please, please, come on, Fitz. It was such a breath of fresh air to see him hit that. And I know it was huge for his confidence. So I don't want to jinx him, so we'll stop here. But so far, the kicking game has been good, which also includes punting. And Master Mono didn't get a whole lot of work last year with the offense that we saw. But he's been excellent this year. And he's pinned them deep a few times when you really, really needed it. He's been able to change field positions for Florida State. So your kicking game has been good. Your kick coverage has been good. Haven't seen a whole lot from the kick return game. But, you know, you would hope that as long as you can just get your offense the ball, you'll be fine there. So overall, I think the offense, you see the potential. They just have to get healthy and they have to get in rhythm. And the person who's banged up the most is your quarterback, who is also the most important position on the offense. So I think if they can get healthy, they can get some things cleaned up in the bye week. They can scheme some things up, get your offensive line right, and have a good day against Virginia Tech. You'll be fine going forward there. The defense, your front seven, I feel good about. The secondary has to clean some things up, and you got to get better at third down defense. It's just atrocious to watch, you know, and every time third down and long comes up, you're just like, no, well, might as well just give them the first. So that's really what needs to get cleaned up. But if we can see them play up to their potential like we did in the second half of LSU, and again, like I talked about, when are we going to see that? Because we're starting to see more of the sloppy play than we are the great play. And so that's something that just really needs to, I would really like to see coming up in the next game. But again, we talked about how good they were coming out of the bye week. And so that's something I'll be looking for, a giant step of improvement going forward. Now that we've talked about that, let's talk about how we feel going forward. Now that we've seen some teams play. So coming up next, sold out Doak Campbell Stadium. Should be an excellent atmosphere. And this is a game Florida State should win going away. I talked to a friend of mine the other day who covers Virginia Tech, and we're going to do a Virginia Tech preview next week. I'm probably going to have him on as well. But he told me the other day, he said, man, I think we're going to go 1-11 this year. And that's considering they already beat Old Dominion, who he said had a terrible game last week against like an FCS team where they barely won. So that win kind of looked a little better than it did at the time. You know, I thought they might have found some life on offense. They scored 36 points in that game, but it's just been a downhill slide ever since. They lost to Rutgers. They lost to Marshall. I don't really know who their third loss was, but I don't think they've actually played an ACC team yet. They've only played one Power 5 team, and they're 1-3. So they're not great. This season, they got a good receiver from the portal, Ollie Jennings, who actually came from Old Dominion. And when I was talking to my friend the other day, he's like, yeah, he broke his leg. He's out for the year. So there goes that. They lost a safety who was also one of their best players on defense. So it's just been all bad for them. And I do think this is a chance. He's like, y'all are going to kill us. And I was like, no offense, but I hope so, because I sat in Doak in 2018 and watched that team mock the war chance. So I hope this is a little bit of a payback game. I hope we beat them by 50, if we're being perfectly honest. Now, I'll try to be nice next week when I have him on, but I think this is a chance you have to get right. And I think the other thing too, when you look at Virginia Tech, their last three games, they allowed over 200 yards rushing against teams like Rutgers and Marshall. So I think this is a chance for you to get the run game going. You know, at least if you can get the backs some success, to get some confidence level, to get that offensive line some confidence level. Like I said, I don't know how many guys you're going to see them rush to return against a team this bad. And it doesn't mean you can overlook anybody, because they're going to come in and try to win the game. And I think they have Pitt this week at home, so we'll see how that plays out. Pitt's not that great either. We're going to talk about them in a second. But I think this is an opportunity you have coming out of a bye week to win a game by 30, 40 points, get some style points, get a big win so people can stop looking at these close games. Because I really do feel like if Florida State had blown out Boston College like we expected them to, people would not have looked at a close Clemson win like they did. I think when you look at, you've stacked two close games in a row, now people looked at that Clemson game a little bit different, if we're being honest. So I do think if you can come out and win this game by 30, 40, maybe even 50 points, I think that's really what you want to try and do. Make it just, it's not going to be a statement win because it's a bad team, but you need to beat them like you should. So Virginia Tech's a game you feel really good about, and maybe getting some of the younger guys and maybe playing around with some things. Hopefully they don't get cute and do a lot of the vanilla stuff. You still want to go in and beat this team like you should, because everyone's still kind of like, well, how good is Florida State if they're not blowing out the bad teams? You know, other than Southern Miss, they did, but like the Boston College. And like we talked about, everyone says that Clemson's not 25, top 25. That's, to me, people don't understand how hard it is to beat Clemson in Death Valley. But then you got Syracuse, and you get them at home. You feel good about this game, knowing that you beat them 35-3 last year. They don't have Sean Tucker this year. Their best offensive player besides Garrett Schrader is out for the season. His last name's Gadsden. I'm not sure how to say his first name, but he was a tight end wide receiver hybrid for those for the Orange, and he was their best offensive player at the skill position besides Garrett Schrader, and he's out for the season. So that was a big loss for them. Now they're 4-0, and you know, Dino Babers gets credit for doing decent at Syracuse in a really hard situation to win. You know, you're really out of touch from the rest of the college football world, way up there. It's not a fertile recruiting ground. So they've done well. But I think when you look at them, it's kind of a similar story to last year. They didn't play anybody. The hardest team that they played through the first four games was Purdue, who, keep in mind, has a new coach, a new quarterback, lost an All-American wide receiver last year. So they struggled a little bit against Army last week. Without Gadsden, they've really had to rely on Schrader, and he runs the ball a lot. Now, they have Clemson coming up this week, so we're going to see if they're for real or not. But remember last year, they started 6-0, even had a good game against Clemson, but then finished the season, I believe it was 1-6. So they really do kind of feast on a weak schedule in the first half of the season, and then they fell apart last year. So we'll have to see if they're good or not, but we'll know Saturday against Clemson. I still feel good about Florida State winning that game, especially being at home. Now, next up, you have Duke. And this is a game that I'll admit I was wrong about in the preseason. I thought Duke would be a lot better. I thought they would be not the Duke of old, but I didn't think they'd quite be the team everybody thought they would be this year. And to be fair, I do want to at least say this about Duke. They beat Clemson game one, and they get 100% credit for that. They blew them out by 21 points. By all means, give them the 15 minutes of fame. Since then, they've beat not a whole lot of great teams. They beat Northwestern, who was 1-11 last year and fired their coach because of, you know, the offseason stuff and whatnot. They beat Lafayette. And then the last game, they beat UConn, who is not quite having the season they had last year. Now, they beat them handily, 41-7, 42-7. And then Northwestern was 38-14. So they've won big. They beat bad teams by a lot. And that's, you know, that Riley Leonard is a dude at quarterback. So he might give you problems when you also talk about Florida State struggling to stop some mobile quarterbacks. And he had 100 yards against Clemson, 98 yards to be exact, on the ground. So that's someone you're going to have to watch for. But they couldn't block Clemson's front. And I think you have a very comparable defensive line. So I think they're going to struggle to block Florida State as well. They don't have a lot of the skill at the skill positions like some of the other teams you've faced. It's going to be interesting to me to see what Duke does. They have Notre Dame this week at home, so we're going to see just how good Duke is. Are they for real? They got NC State the week after that before you play, so we'll see how Duke is. Now, obviously, they're a much better team than Duke has been in the past, but you do get them at home. That game has already been announced as a sellout, and so it will be interesting to see if Duke is for real or not. Like I said, they're going to be a lot bigger challenge than maybe we thought they were at the beginning of the season. Even though everybody thought they'd be better, I still feel good about Florida State winning that game at home. I'll just be interested to see, like I said, how they do against the better competition on their schedule. Because while they did beat Clemson, it was game one with a young quarterback in a new offense with a new offensive coordinator. Duke was returning 99.5% of their yards from the year before. And Elko's a great coach. I mean, he even had a top 50 defense at Wake Forest when he was there, which is a hard place to get players to. So they've done an excellent job. And I'm not taking anything away from Duke. I just want to see how they do against better competition. But a lot of the reason they beat Clemson is because of Clemson and what they did to themselves. So the next game after that, you have Wake Forest, which you do have to go on the road. And Florida State hasn't played at home a lot. You know, you've had the neutral site game and then a lot of away games. So at least you do come home for a three-game stretch here. And two of those games are already sold out. Syracuse may get sold out as well. Keep in mind, go get enter for your chance to win those tickets. So the only stipulation I have for the giveaway is if you're going to sit in my season ticket spots, you got to be loud. That is rule number one. You got to be nice to the people around you, obviously. Just be nice. But if you win, you got to be loud, because I'm telling you guys, I scream and or do the war chant. I yell for the defense, all that stuff. So you're going to be expected to represent those seats well. So hopefully Syracuse will be sold out as well. But getting back to Wake Forest, you know, when we talk about Wake Forest, it has been a big step back year for them. And it's something that we expected too. When you lose your all-time leader in passing, Sam Hartman, and he's done well at Notre Dame, but it's like we talked about earlier, how for real is Notre Dame when you've beat up on a lot of bad teams like Navy, and I think it was Memphis? Just not a lot of great competition. You only scored 10 points at home against Ohio State. But still, when you talk about Sam Hartman, maybe isn't one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's still a very good quarterback, but he was the best thing that Wake Forest has had. He's their all-time leading passer. And anytime you take that away and you take away a receiver like A.T. Perry, who had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, you take away one of their better running backs and a lot of their offensive line, they've struggled this year. You know, they beat Elon by 20 points. They did beat Vanderbilt, who's not very good. And then they only beat Old Dominion, who we just talked about when we were talking about Virginia Tech, is not very good. They beat them by 3 points. They lost to Georgia Tech last week, 30-16. I just think Florida State's going to go up there and kind of beat them into submission. Now, obviously, we know that that place can be tricky for Florida State for some reason. I don't understand why it's so hard to go and get a win up there, but I think it's going to be revenge tour this year. And you got a few more weeks to work on some things, so I think they're going to go in there and kind of smack Wake Forest around. But obviously, you got to come ready to play, because they have just seemed to really be the thorn in our side the last few years. Up next is Pitt, and this is a game that has been really the opposite of like we talked about with Duke. We thought that most people thought Pitt was going to be a tough game going into this season, being late on the road, and Pitt is usually a tricky team to play at home. Now, I will say the one thing we talked about with Pitt in the preseason, this is something that if you guys read the preseason magazine, you saw this, where I pointed out they lost their top running back, they lost their quarterback, they lost their best receiver, they lost their entire defensive line, they lost their best linebacker. They lost so much that it was going to be hard for them to repeat that success that they've had. I also thought that Phil Dracovic is one of the most overrated quarterbacks in college football. I didn't think he was any good at Boston College. I still don't think he's any good at Pitt. Yeah, he's got some tools. He's 6'5", he's and all that stuff, but he's just not very good. And from what I saw the other day when I was reading a column, they're not very excited about him either. And he actually got injured in the last game, and they brought in their backup, who's a transfer from Penn State, and they said he didn't look much better. So to me, Pitt is working through some issues this year. Their only win comes against Wofford. They've lost to Cincinnati. They lost to Pitt, West Virginia, and then they just lost to North Carolina in a close game. It was 41-24. So not really close, but, you know, it was, to me, when you look at North Carolina, again, they struggled against App State. But Pitt, to me, is a completely different game. Now, of course, you know, you go on the road late in the season against a team that really doesn't have anything to lose. You got to play well, but I feel like Florida State's going to be able to get a win there. Then you talk about Miami, and this might have just turned into one of the biggest games on the schedule. The problem with Miami is, how much do you believe in that team? How much do you believe in that record? Because I'm not buying it yet. Now, do they look better than they did last year? 100%. I have no problem in saying that rival or not, they look a lot better. Their offense looks better. Their defense looks better. I think their talent level on the offensive line and stuff has gotten better this season. But the only team that they beat that's worth a flip is Texas A&M. And we know Texas A&M, shout out to Jimbo, has done a lot less with a lot more talent for a long time. And I just think that we need to see more from them against better competition for them, willing to buy into that. Because, you know, like we said, they beat basically nobody. You beat Miami of Ohio, you beat Bethune-Cookman, and then you beat Temple. Now they beat them like they should, 41-7, 48-7, 38-3. But, you know, last year may have been a little bit of an anomaly with them losing to teams like Mississippi or Middle Tennessee State and things like that. But you still haven't beat anybody good. Now you have, just like we talked about Clemson, you still have some opportunities coming up. Now, when you talk about Miami, they have Georgia Tech coming to town this Saturday. You have at North Carolina coming up. You have Clemson at home coming up, all before you play Florida State. So you're going to have an opportunity to learn a lot about Miami. Now, if they come into that game against Florida State still undefeated, yeah, we're going to have a battle on our hands. But they just haven't proved anything against anybody good yet. So we'll see how they do going forward. But they do look better this year. But I think there are definitely some opportunities for Florida State to go in and beat them, especially at home in front of a sold-out crowd. You know, I said in the preseason, I didn't think this game was going to be a 42-point blowout again this year. I just don't. I think Miami's better this year. But I also don't think it's going to be necessarily close. And right now, I still, until we see them beat somebody better, and Texas A&M was a nice win for them. I mean, I'll give it to them, but I just want to see. Let's see how they do against Clemson and North Carolina before we really sell out too much on blowing Miami up. So I will say that that's going to be a fun environment because, like we talked about, it's sold out at Doak. I'm extremely excited to be at that game. I can't wait for that one. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, the last Florida State Miami game in Doak Campbell that I went to was in 2013. And man, that atmosphere was unlike anything I've ever been to. And I've been to some big games, Florida State, Oklahoma, the national championship, you name it. I've been to some, not a lot, but I've been to a fair number of really big college football games. And that was one of the funnest, most crazy atmospheres I've been to ever. You know, LSU last year in the Superdome was pretty wild. That was a pretty close second. But man, when I tell you guys that there was piles of liquor bottles outside the gates at Doak, the size of a Volkswagen Bug, I am not exaggerating. That was so much fun and so crazy that Miami should be better this year. Now, whether they lose a game or two or not, they're still going to be a better team. So it's going to be a bigger game. And I'm telling you, that atmosphere is going to be unmatched. So I can't wait. I always want to see Miami do bad. I'm not here to front. Like, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you guys. I don't care if they go 0-12 every year. I don't care if Florida goes 0-12 every year. I don't owe them nothing. But I will say when they are better and Florida State is good as well, it is a great environment between those two teams. So, you know, I hope they lose every game of the year. But if they're better, then that's a fun game as well. Now, the next game after that, North Alabama, not much to say there. You should roll over in that game, get a lot of the young guys playing time. So nothing really to talk about there. Florida, that one looks like, on the one hand, after the Tennessee game, you're like, okay, this might be a little harder than we thought. Going to the Swamp, they got to win against Tennessee. We don't really know how good Tennessee is. They are not the Tennessee that they were last year. And then you saw them back that up with the game they had against Charlotte, who is not a good team. You know, I live close to Charlotte. You guys know that. And they just recently stepped up to FBS. I think they've only beat one FBS team in school history. They're not good. They're still finding their way in FBS football as a whole. Florida only scored one touchdown against them. They had five field goals in that game. I think Florida's defense is getting better. They have a lot of size up front, which we talked about in the preseason. So they could be hard to run the ball on a little bit, but you look at some of the things Utah did throwing the ball against them. You look at their offense, it's just not great. You know, and we know when they beat Tennessee, we know that Tennessee's defense sucked last year. So that's not really saying much to score on Tennessee's defense, but that game might be a little bit tougher just being in the Swamp after they've had the entire season to kind of get a little bit in a rhythm. You know, they do have the new defensive coordinator and whatnot, but I still feel like Florida State can go in there and win that game. I still feel like you're the much better team than Florida. It's just, you know, you got to go play in the Swamp, but I still feel good about that. And looking as a whole, like I said, guys, I originally predicted Florida State to go 11-1. with a loss at Clemson. I changed that after I saw Florida State play and after Clemson play, because it's hard to go on preseason when there's so many changes with the portal and coaches. You just never know what to expect coming into a season. But knowing that Florida State played like they did against LSU, and we saw what they could be, we saw the top of their potential level, I changed my pick. I think they're going to go 12-0, and I'm not backing off of that. I still think they're going to run the table and go into the ACC championship, which, like we talked about, you potentially just blocked Clemson out of that. So it may be a little bit easier path. You know, whoever makes it's probably not going to be super easy when you talk about probably North Carolina. So I still feel like you're going to have the opportunity to finish the season 13-0 as an ACC champion and go into the playoffs. But there are some things that you got to get cleaned up, or you could lose against some of the teams down your schedule that are better than what we thought they were originally, like Duke, like Syracuse, like Miami. So I think these are some of the teams that you're going to have to bring your A game. You can't just sleepwalk through some of these games, and the mistakes have to get cleaned up. But the good thing is, again, guys, I think it's not so much just you're getting out talented or whatever the case may be, or it's a terrible game plan. You know, it's not been perfect all along. I'll admit that. But I do think that if they can work on some of these things in the bye week and they can get healthy, that this team is going to be just fine. And there may not be, you know, it may not be like last year where you come out of the bye and you just wipe the floor with every team on your schedule. There may be some close games. But at the end of the day, if you win every game on your schedule by 1 point, and this is something we talked about before, you know, look at Georgia had a close game against Missouri last year, still went on to win the national championship. TCU had, I think it was 5 games by 7 points or less. A lot of those would come from behind wins, still made the playoffs, still made the national championship. So just win. That's all that matters. Just win. And they've done that so far. They made it to the bye week 4-0, which is what we asked of this team. And you were able to do it not playing well. So that lets you know there is still a lot of meat on the bone when you talk about this team, and that makes you excited going forward, because now they have an opportunity to get healthy during the bye and then also come out against a team in Virginia Tech that's really struggling right now, really having a bad game or a season, and hopefully you can get one of those dominating wins where you get a little bit of confidence for yourself and you kind of work on some things in that game, and then you put all that into going forward against the rest of your schedule. So overall, it's just positive for me. I mean, I know it hasn't looked great, and this is probably maybe not the most exciting 4-0 that we've seen, but I still think you have to stop and smell the roses like we talked about. You have to just live in the moment and enjoy the fact that this team did make it to 4-0. They are still top five in the country. When the playoff rankings come out, I think you're going to see them where they need to be. And I think it's just enjoyable. Saturdays are fun again. You know, even if they're a little stressful, they're still fun again. And I think really that's all at the end of the day that matters. As long as they keep winning, they have so much room to get better. And that is also exciting. So with that being said, guys, that's kind of where I stand on the bye week, of just how I feel about things, what we've seen, what we got going forward, and some of the things they got to work on. You know, if we can see this team get the secondary cleaned up, like if you can see them get back Akeem Dent and they get some of these missed tackles cleaned up and you see the run game get going, then I feel like this team's going to be perfectly fine against anybody that they face, whether it be now or in the playoffs. As long as they bring their A game and they get those things cleaned up, they'll be okay. And, you know, like I said, the targeting, the two guys, when you look at the stats, I don't think it's a big deal, but hopefully we see some more guys get involved just so you have more depth of playmakers. But really, I think it's just going to come down to getting healthy and working on yourselves. And if they can do that, they are still in the driver's seat at the bye week after the two toughest teams on your schedule that you played. You are still in the driver's seat to accomplish every single goal you have this season. And that, to me, is exciting for this year. The fact that they can still win the ACC championship, they can still go undefeated, they can still make the playoffs, they can still make the national championship, they can still do all that, even though they're not playing their best football. So with that being said, guys, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. Like I said, I'm going to be back next week with some pre-game preview of Virginia Tech, and we'll have plenty of coverage there. Like I said, sorry about being a little bit later this week, but I wanted to make sure to get something out for you guys, especially so you can remember to go have your chance to win that giveaway that we're doing. So check that out. Like I said, it's on our social media channels. The instructions are there, and I'm going to give away these tickets, and I'm going to give away this gift card and this t-shirt coming up. The winner will be notified no later than Monday. So you still have a few days to enter that as well. And then, like I said, if you don't mind, go check out our sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. They got great gear and they help support what we do here. But with that being said, guys, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. I thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your support. And as always, go Noles.